Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Attorney Don Luce with us in studio of the Luce Law Group with offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
A couple of very interesting items to discuss today. This compelling this issue around compelling the clergy to report crimes. This, I've always believed, and I think most people do, that what is said in the confessional is to stay in the confession booth.
Well, pretty much that's the law right now. But as you know, the law changes. It changes through court decisions. It changes through legislative action. And this privilege between a clergy person and his or her, religious follower is sacrosanct right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a case that's challenging that privilege insofar as it relates to confessions of sexual abuse. And it arises from a case that had just horrendous facts. A father abused his children. He confessed the crime to his bishop. Reportedly, the bishop urged him to turn himself in, to report it.
Mm-hmm.
Which he did not do, and apparently the abuse continued. The bishop felt that because a privilege attached to that discussion, that he wasn't permitted to disclose it, to disclose those facts to law enforcement, and he didn't. Unfortunately, the individual continued the abuse of his children until he was finally, years later, arrested. Apparently, he had posted something on social media, which led to his arrest. He pled guilty to something like 26 felony counts of sexual abuse, and then he hung himself in prison. Out of those facts, and it's always the difficult facts that lead to these types of efforts for change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of these facts, we have this lawsuit by the children who are asking the court to allow them information, and this is strange, albeit, information about what their father said to the church, because they are seeking to have the church pay damages to them for the crimes that their father committed, about which they claim the church knew.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, on the one hand, a privilege that attaches to the communications between a clergyman and the parishioner, or the penitent, as the court says.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, victims who arguably were severely injured because no reporting was made of the fact that these crimes were being committed and about which apparently the clergy knew. So the court is faced with a very, very difficult task, in my mind, of weighing the rights of the victims in this particular case against the long-standing and absolute privilege that has existed with regard to confessions.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the arguments? Well, the claimants are saying, look, you can't not report something as egregious as this. Sexual abuse of children, the claimants are saying, absolutely has to be reported, that the privilege should not apply to these types of crimes, right? And they also note that not every religion observes the practice of confession, right? Some religions do and some religions don't. Mm-hmm. And so what the claimants are saying is it would be discriminatory to say the privilege attaches to communications in this particular religion, in this particular setting, but not to communications in another religion under a different setting. So they're saying because of the application, the differences in application, the law itself is unconstitutional. I don't know how the case will ultimately be decided, but it's being argued and considered at the Arizona Supreme Court. I would also note that there are other privileges that exist, right? So everyone, I think, understands, you know, from watching Law and Order, mm-hmm. if nothing else,
yeah, yeah.
that there's an attorney-client privilege.
Yeah.
So information that is provided to an attorney mm-hmm. is privileged.
Mm-hmm.
There is also, to a great extent, a doctor-patient privilege, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The information you give to your physician mm-hmm. is privileged.
Mm-hmm.
And there are privileges in other contexts. But there are also mandatory reporters of sexual abuse. Okay, so mm-hmm. who are some of the mandatory reporters? Medical professionals.
Uh-huh.
So even though there's a doctor-patient privilege, medical professionals and behavioral health professionals have an obligation to report sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, in the school setting, teachers and school personnel, parents who are aware, have a mandatory reporting obligation. And interestingly, clergy who actually witness the crime
mm-hmm.
have an obligation, but not within the confessional setting. So there are lots of privileges, different in the sense that it depends on who the parties are to the communication, and different reporting requirements depending on the nature of the conduct being reported.
Is there something written in law that says anything about this, the clergy, that this is privileged information?
Well, that's an interesting point. The Arizona Constitution guarantees the liberty of conscience, okay? And so the proponents of the privilege are saying that it's a constitutionally protected right, that mm-hmm. the privilege exists as a result of the Arizona Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The opponents of the privilege are saying, no, that particular guarantee is not as broad as the proponents are claiming, and it doesn't protect things that go to the peace and safety of the state,
huh.
like sexual abuse, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's a balancing act, and how the court will eventually rule on this, we don't know yet.
You would think this could go to the U.S. Supreme Court. No?
Now, it's brought under the Arizona State Constitution is at the heart of it, so I don't think so.